Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation. Thanks for joining us here on another Friday afternoon. QT and Sign Guy with you. Real fast before we jump into the interview with our guest, if you're looking for some live wrestling, tonight WCWO running at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis like usual. CWA in Pocahontas, Tennessee for a Tracy Smothers Memorial Show. Wrestle Club will be streaming a show live on their Facebook page. TPW in Sherman, Texas, and LPW in Roy, Utah tomorrow night. PAPW in East Haven, Connecticut. DZW in Katy, Texas. ASPW in Bethany, Oklahoma. IZW in Tempe, Arizona. QPW in Union City, Tennessee. EWA in Camden, New Jersey. Black Label Pro in Crown Point, Indiana. IWA Mid-South in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And tomorrow night in Grimsley, Tennessee, MSWA presents a benefit show for Tracy Smothers. Impact stars James Storm and Crazy Steve will be there, as will the Smothers' Twisted Daughters. Ox Harley will be there. He is promoting this event. Funds going to help the final arrangements of Tracy Smothers, so definitely if you're anywhere near there and you're able to go, support that show. Great cause. People come together for Tracy Smothers. But without any further ado, I want to welcome our guest for this afternoon. Boo Sullivan, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, man, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Perfect. What are the ground rules? Because I want to make sure, you know, listen, I have a potty mouth. I want to make sure that you're okay with that. Or if I have to be on my best behavior, I should have asked you prior to the show.
We strive for PG-13, but we don't throw you under the bus if we don't quite hit the mark.
I'm going to give you PG-13 then.
All right. Well, our first question, since today is your first time on our particular show, how did you get into the business of pro wrestling?
Great question. Funny story. So I always wanted to do it. I've been a fan for years. I mean, since I used to watch, my grandfather used to get me the tapes back in the early, I would say, you know, early to mid 80s. I had basic cable, which is, you know, back then it was like channel 2 to 13, and then you have channel 55. That was it. We didn't, you know, have the 1,000 channels we had now. So, and in New York, it was all WWF at the time. But, you know, my grandfather, you know, had lived in Florida, and my cousin's father also lived in Florida. So they would send us tapes all the time, especially the old NWA. So I would see stars that, you know, no one else would know. Eventually, NWA went on one of our channels for a brief time, so I got to see guys like Sting and whatnot. But here nor there, always wanted to do it, loved it, got so involved with it. As you get older, sometimes you fall out of it. You know, your passions change. I was a big baseball player and football player in high school. And then, you know, with the girls, you know, your concentration just kind of changed. But always in the back of my mind still, you know, but I just never did. I also had a bout of anxiety that, you know, it was like one of these things that, like, it would always hold me back. I would always think that, you know, oh, could I do this? I remember back in the late 90s when they were, you know, during the Monday Night Wars, and I was watching a documentary about the WCW power plant, and I was like watching these guys just getting bullied and kicked and spit on, and then Tough Enough came out with Hardcore Holly, and I'm thinking, man, do I really want to do this? So fast forward about 10 years, just not going for it, and a buddy of mine that transferred to a place that I was working, and he was, hey, my dream is to become a professional wrestler. And I was like, holy crap. I was like, you know, I always had that same dream. He started training. Not at first, because he was saving up for it, but ended up going to the NYWC Training Academy, which is located in Deer Park, Long Island, New York. And a lot of stars, Tony Nese, Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins, a lot of guys came out of that school. Trent, it was run by Mikey Whipwreck, so an ECW legend. So he started going, and at the time, one of the head trainer was Mikey Mondo, which is Mikey of the Spirit Squad. So it was one of those things that's like, hey, you know, they got enough star power. So he started there. He started for about a month. He would tell me all the things that they would do. And I just followed him. I finally said, screw it. And, the rest is history.
Now, you have made your name for yourself in the New York area, and New York traditionally has been a hotbed of independent pro wrestling for decades now. Looking at the landscape of things in the last few years, what do you think of the New York scene as far as what it presents to pro wrestling fans?
Well, you're absolutely right. New York, New Jersey especially, there's so many promotions. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like after COVID, because those are two places that were really not allowed to put on shows. And if they do put on shows, there's so many restrictions for the fans, for the workers, for the talent, we've been really crushed by it. But I will say, before COVID, you're absolutely right. So many promotions, and if you're a wrestling fan, I mean, this is really the place to be, because you can literally, you watch your Monday Night Raw, you watch your AEW, you watch your NXT, and then probably every weekend, you're going to have a show that's close to you that you can go and see, and you can go see former WWE talent, you can see future WWE talent, you can see, guys that have been doing this forever. It really is a hotbed, and it's great. It presented so many opportunities for me, whereas, somewhere in another state that's probably not as densely populated, you may have that one show a month, and then if you want to go wrestle on another show, you have to drive 6 to 8, 10 hours to the next town like the old days. But here it's a lot different. I could wrestle every weekend and maybe not even put a total of 150 miles on a car round trip. There's always been good opportunity to definitely wrestle. And if you're a fan, especially in these areas, all you got to do is just look up where these shows are. And hopefully after COVID, it'll snap back and we'll be back wrestling left and right.
Now, in the COVID area here, you took advantage of some of the extra time, and you have come out with a book. Now, admittedly, I haven't read it just yet, but I have ordered it, waiting on it to show up at my door. But you came out with a fictionalized book. Can you tell us what sparked you to write the book and a little bit about what the book was?
Sure. I had work at I've been blessed to have some pretty fun jobs in my life, besides for wrestling, the old 9-to-5s. So, one of the first places I worked was KB Toys. I don't know if you remember, but that was not good for, filling my addiction for collecting wrestling figures and everything like that. I would spend like half my paycheck there, I felt like. But I worked there, and then I worked at another place for a long time, which was another retail outlet, a very, very famous video game store, which will remain nameless, you know, wherever you are. I'm sure you can figure it out. But I worked there for about 12 years, 11, 12 years. And so many, I want to say so many, look, I'm a wrestler, right? So the idea is, you know, to be a wrestler, you need to have some sort of imagination, and you'll always be a kid at heart. I really believe that. And one of the things about it, you know, my imagination was always running, and I would always run into these weird situations. So I would literally go through a situation, and then I would, like, think about, you know, just kind of twisting it into making it more like how this could be funnier or how this could be fucking more embarrassing. Sorry. But anyways, I wrote this story. I was taking notes, and honestly, for 5 years I wanted to write this story. It's crazy. It's out there. It's funny. It's ridiculous. It's definitely adult. It's very adult. There's some situations in there. There's definitely language. Like I said, I try to, you know, it was me. It was me turned up to 10, which is basically anything I've ever done when I become a character, and it's just something that's become a character. And it's basically all the premise, more or less, is about a store manager who's given a team of ragtag misfits, and basically they have 6 months to turn their store around, otherwise they're going to lose the store and possibly their jobs. And more or less, you know, I don't want to say that completely happened, but, you know, it was a weird situation, a weird time. A lot of the stuff happened. A lot of the stuff didn't happen. You got to kind of read between the lines. But it's just entertaining. A lot, you know, all the people that have read it so far have gotten nothing but positive reviews and feedback. It's on Amazon.com. It's called The Gamer Place. It's, you know, it has 9 reviews. It just came out about a month ago, but it has 9 positive 5-star reviews, which is amazing. People are asking me to write a sequel already, that they enjoyed it that much. So if you get a chance, check it out. You know, it's definitely worth your time.
I look forward to reading it. Like I said, mine is on the way, but not quite here yet.
Appreciate that.
Speaking of books, we, in the last 20 years, have been flooded with a ton of wrestling-related books, be it autobiographies, biographies, histories of different promotions, different championships, all number of wrestling books in the last couple of decades since Mick Foley sort of opened the door for that.
Yep.
If you had to pick a favorite wrestling-based book, what would your go-to suggestion be for someone looking to pick up a read?
I got to be honest. I got an OG Mick Foley book. I mean, to me, that one, and you're right, it started, it definitely started the autobiography. But to me, that was a great read. I also enjoy Ric Flair. I think it was called To Be the Man. I have them all packed up. My last move, all my books got, and I'm a big, big book guy. I remember The Rock's book. That was pretty good. I got to be honest, though. I've been so stuck on these shoot interviews on YouTube. You know what I mean? Like, I could sit there, and don't get me wrong, it's like I wish I had all the time in the world to read these books, but you can sit there and watch these shoot interviews on YouTube and get all this information, and the way they chop them up and edit them, that's really what I've been on. And literally, ever since I started training, and even before that, you know, I just feel like now YouTube is just blasted with them, and it's great to see, like, old stories from the road and whatnot.
Now, we had a question from a loyal listener, so I want to ask you that now.
Sure.
You're sort of known as hardcore wrestler, guys that do the street fighting and the hardcore matches and so forth and so on. They were wondering if you limit yourself as far as doing chairs and tables and that sort of thing, or if you are into the more death match type matches that have the broken glass and the mouse traps and the more dangerous end aspect of that.
So that's a loaded question. So here's the thing. So that guy that I worked with that ended up, you know, training with me, he actually became my tag team partner for quite some time, and me and him had some really good success as the Hounds of Hatred. And we joined a wrestler named Stockade. He had a group in NYWC, which had some really, we were basically like the Manson family meets NWO. So there was 9 of us. We were all crazy. We all did crazy stuff. We wrestled with Psycho Circuses, which was one giant team battle with weapons all over the place. My buddy ended up becoming Bam Sullivan, which if you haven't heard of him yet, I guarantee you, you will. He is blowing up, doing his thing right now. And, you know, he's traveling. I'm not right now, but he's traveling into Philly, you know, ECW country, and he's doing all the deathmatch wrestling. Same with Stockade, the guy that I've wrestled with forever. They are crazy, crazy dudes. And, I love a good hardcore match. Don't get me wrong. They're fun to do. They're crazy. The fans are always into them. It's just a different level of excitement, from a standard match. But to me, you know, seeing that these guys, the beatings that their bodies go through, and hardcore is one thing, deathmatch is completely different. Not to say that it's not something that I would ever do, but I've stayed away from it. I've seen Bam take bumps where he's got to pick shards and shards and shards of glass out of his back. I've seen Stockade go through cinder blocks, legit cinder blocks, and breaking his body into, you know, and I'm right there. I'm involved in it. So I love a good hardcore match. It's fun. You know, you get your wounds, but the crowd reactions takes all the pain away for the interim. Death match is different. I don't know how these guys do it, but, you know, it's pouring blood and picking out glass and thumbtacks. What was the other thing? You know, gusset plates. I mean, yeah, it's intense for sure. I right now would rather stick with the hardcore and the standard over the death match for sure.
Now, one of the things that has been a huge game changer in pro wrestling over the last 15 years or so has been social media. It's become something that is almost a necessary in the wrestling business in order to do business, be it a promoter or a performer. From your own experience with people on the independent scene in New York, New Jersey, do you think that the average person in the wrestling business has a firm grasp on how to utilize social media properly, or do you think that it's something that a lot of people still struggle with today?
I am not a fan of social media and wrestling. I do use it, obviously. I have the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook. Obviously, it's great for promotion. You know, to the handing out flyers in the street, although I'm a fan of that too. I'm actually a bigger fan of that, you know, because you get to talk to the people in the towns that you're going to, you know, postering up areas and whatnot. Not, you know, and obviously, look, social media has got some guys all over the place. There's many people on the independents got famous just by the social media. But to me, it definitely hurts the industry. I mean, if you think back, you know, 80s, late 90s, you know, 90s, 80s, 90s, late 90s, before the internet really, the dirt sheets came out, you know, it was, wrestling was silly, but it was believable. You, it was almost, you know what I mean? Like, ECW came out and everybody was like, oh my God, like, what's going on? You know, I got to tune in to see what they're going to do next time. You know, you can watch a Survivor Series from the early 90s, right? And they're all wearing neon, right? Mr. Perfect, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Macho King. And you're watching that, and now you're kind of like, oh, it's funny. But back then, these guys were your only – these guys were your superheroes. You know what I mean? You got your superheroes when you could read your comic books. And then the only time you'd ever see – else before there was, like, you know, cartoons all over the place or the Marvel movies, it was wrestling. And – you didn't know their names, you know what I mean? You didn't know Terry Bollea was Hulk Hogan, you know what I mean? You didn't know James Elwig was the Ultimate War. These were your guys, right? So before social media came out and everybody started getting into everybody's business and exposing the business for what it is, you know, it sucks because, like, you know, and even, like, today, like, I'll watch something, but I'll trip, you know, like, maybe I'll get excited for a match or a show coming up. You know, you got Survivor Series coming. And, oops, you know, I saw the ending. Or I saw what's the plan ending. And it's like, you know, that sucks, man. Like, another, for instance, Lena Vega, you know, she just got released from her WWE contract. And it's like, dude, we don't need to know why. But it's out there. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we don't need to know their business. And I don't want to know their business. That's the magic behind wrestling, you know. And maybe I'm a boomer, if you want to say, you know, in terms of these younger guys that are out there, and it's great to show your promos and to do all that stuff, but to me, wrestling is best when you let the promoter promote the shows and street team and paper up your town with the new show, with the show that's coming out. And then, you know, use YouTube for your matches and do your promos, but everything else, like, you know, it's tough. It's a catch-22. You want to get your name out there, but at the same time, like, you don't want to contribute to exposing the business. People breaking out of kayfabe, people using their real names on social media. I try not to, you know, I have a personal account for that. But you still want to just give them that little bit of believability, if not for the older fans, for the kids. And, you know, do I think that wrestlers – use it properly? I mean, honestly, it's up to the wrestler. I mean, I wish I could go back to the old time where it was still believable. Like, Yokozuna was from Japan and hated Americans, and it was like, oh my God, and he walked in, and you know what I mean? Like, that's what you know, that's the kind of wrestling that I thrive on, where I was like, it was believable. And now you can just go online and find out everything about the guy. So, you know, That's just my two cents.
One of the people in New York that may not get recognized as much as he should as being very influential in wrestling is Johnny Rods. He operated a wrestling school that churned out a ton of recognizable superstars in this industry, everyone from Bubba Ray Dudley to Tommy Dreamer. So many people came through Johnny Rods' school. Being from that area, how important do you think Johnny Rods actually was for professional wrestling in that area?
I mean, there's a, you know, and no disrespect to Johnny Rods, there's a lot of good schools. You know, the Doghouse, you know, NYWC with Mikey Whipwreck, you know, even Cap, you know, with Kurt Hawkins. But in terms of, like, history, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Johnny Rods is one of those guys that never fully got the due that he deserved in my eyes, right? So when he would wrestle, you know, for WWE or, you know, other promotions, it was like, all right, it's Johnny Rods. You know what I mean? But then this is a guy, it's like Dave Finley, right? Finley. This is a guy who doesn't, you know, never will get the full respect that he deserves. because of what he's done for the actual industry. Johnny Rods has done so much for the industry. Hugh Bain has never held, you know, the title in WWE, but he's turned out so many superstars that, you know, he deserves all the respect and then some, because he's, you know, and I go back to Dave Finley. To me, it's like the two of the same guys, right? It's like, oh, yeah, that was the guy from WCW. But the thing is what he's done for the women's division in WWE. Let's say, I mean, he's turned it around, and he's pushed all these talents through where it's like, holy crap. Like, so yeah, Johnny Rod, you know, and I've never met him. I would love to have met him, but he, you know, he's just done so much definitely for the New York scene, for sure.
At this point in your career, do you have any personal plans on eventually opening up a training school, or at least teaching at a school, to bring the next generation of wrestlers up, or is that something that you don't really see yourself doing?
I don't. I'm always willing to help out if, you know, a promoter in the area was to ever say, hey, can you come and speak to my students, or, you know, hey, we're going to do a class, can you help? You know, I've definitely helped at NYWC. I've definitely given back there. I would always dedicate my time. In terms of training, you need a lot of, I'm trying to think of the word. You need, I would say, patience, actually. You need a lot of patience to be a trainer. I mean, you got to understand that these guys, some of these kids that come in, or you know, men, women, kids, really, you know, they've never done this. And a lot of them are just fans, right, who watch and say, I would love to do that, but may have never done anything athletic in their life. I'm not saying that, you know, like, I don't know Mick Foley's background. I don't think he was a star football player or baseball player, but, you know, listen, he's one of the ones that he'd do anything crazy, and he became a legendary professional wrestler. But there's a lot of students that come in through, you know, even when I was in training, these guys would come in, but, you know, non-athletic. And I'm not saying I was the most athletic dude either, but, you know, but I was an athlete, you know, I played sports. I was always playing sports. I was always working out, you know, and I've seen guys walk in that, you know, may have even wrestled, let's say, at their local firehouse show, right? But they've never wrestled for, like, a legit organization. They come in and they start training properly, and they can't hack it. And the idea is, look, you don't want to treat anybody, you don't want to be a bully. That's the big thing. I've seen bullies in training, and they don't work out. You know, a very good trainer that I was lucky to learn under, that wasn't a bully to me, and I had never seen him be a bully to anybody else, was Bull James, Bull Dempsey, NXT. And he let guys ask questions, and it wasn't like they were, you know, and then I've seen other guys, which will remain nameless, but I've worked under other guys that people were afraid to even ask, you know, ask them, because they don't want to stop training because they didn't want to do wall sits. You know what I'm saying? So for me personally, would I open up a school? Probably not. Would I be willing to go in, you know, somewhere and help out? 100%. Yeah, for sure.
Now, considering your style is usually more of a brawling type of style, who, in your estimation, discounting yourself, would you say is the best brawler out there on the independent circuit?
Ooh. You know, I got to go with one of my trainers, which is Stockade. I think he's a big guy, but he can move. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, you look at Stockade and he's lost a lot of weight, but he's very agile. But in terms of brawling, when we're talking about straight up brawling, he's as legit as they come. And I've gotten lucky to wrestle a lot of brawlers. I've gotten lucky to wrestle a lot of different, you know, stars, really, even AEW, WWE. But to me, when we're talking about straight brawling, Stockade for sure. He's no joke. He's stiff, but he's so smart. You know, he knows what the fans want before the fans want it. You know what I mean? And you know, I've definitely am very lucky to have learned under him for such a long period of time.
At this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm going to pass things over to him for some questions.
Sure. Well, thank you, Sungai. Hello, Mr. Solomon.
How are you?
Not too bad. Pretty good. Mr. Boo, I saw your YouTube video entitled NWYC Draw the Line, Boo Sullivan versus Jack Morrissey teaser trailer 2019. Do you remember this video?
Yes, I do.
Okay. My question is, are there any truths to the rumors that my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington tell me that Jack Morrissey may be the great-great-grandson of Jim Morrissey, who was the leader of the Dead Rabbits gang in New York City, who confronted William Poole, or as he is better known as, Bill the Butcher, leader of the Bowery Boys gang, when they were on their way to Tammany Hall in the Five Points area of Manhattan to intimidate voters in the 1862 election.
I would definitely say that you may be onto something there. I've known Jack for about 2 years now. He definitely doesn't indulge his secrets, doesn't indulge his past too much. He's definitely a interesting character, but I'm just as dark. I'm darker. So to me, it's like it was a very interesting match. I honestly can't say if that's exactly his background, but I would not put it past him either.
Wow. All right. Jack Morrissey and Jim Morrissey. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Sullivan, I also saw your YouTube video entitled Corrine Mink, Jose A, and Jose B versus The Mischief and Boo Sullivan. Now, it's been reported that the two members of The Mischief were without a member named Mouse. And this was giving Miss Mink, Jose A, and Jose B an extra shot of confidence. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who this Mouse was, and did you ever work with Mouse?
Yes. So I've known Mouse for a very long time, before we were even wrestlers. I will say that Mouse is the most underrated professional wrestler in the world, as far as I'm concerned. So the reason that he was not there was because he was wrestling in a hardcore tournament in Philly at the time. Mouse is also an original member of the Hounds of Hatred, which is where I started. Part of that, as I was explaining, that NWO versus meets the Manson family. So if you've ever got a chance to see any of Mouse's work, I definitely recommend it. Mouse is about, just so you know, he's about 5, I want to say he's about 5'5", maybe about 5'8". I'll give him the benefit of a couple inches there. He's skinny. He doesn't look like much, but the stuff that Mouse puts himself through, he is a hardcore deathmatch wrestler. I've seen people throw him across the ring into the tables. I've seen him take so much stuff, and this kid keeps getting up and keeps fighting. He's got an overbite, just like a mouse. He's really something. He's a sight to be seen. When he goes anywhere, he immediately becomes a fan favorite. The kids love him because he's one of them. It's almost like he's one of them. He's like a cartoon, but when he gets into the ring, he is no joke. He takes a beating. He actually just wrestled a couple of months ago where he got all, I think it was like two or three front teeth knocked out, legit, and fell outside from the top rope. He ended up getting knocked out where he fell almost on his head to the outside of the ring, which, as you know, is not a good bump, especially when there's no give to the floor. I mean, he's a tough SOB for sure. And I definitely recommend you checking him out. It's a shame that when I found out, when I came to the building that night and they told me, hey man, you're going to be wrestling with the Mischiefs, I was super excited to work with Mouse. I always love working with Mouse. And I was let down a little bit when I found out that he wasn't in the state, and which is why they needed me to fill in for the third. But just a tough mother, and I definitely recommend you find his videos and check him out.
Wow. Do you know if Mouse was raised on the tough streets of Benford Sty?
No, he is from the streets, the slums, and the sewers of a town called Shirley, New York. And if you've never heard of it, look it up.
Ooh, okay. All right. Boy, that's a... Okay. Well, Mr. Sullivan, the Mischief bore a striking resemblance to the Droogs that were in the movie Clockwork Orange by Stanley Kubrick. Alex, the gang leader, leads his other three Droogies, Pete, Georgie, and Dim, on a path of violence and juvenile delinquency in the dystopian near-future Britain. My question is, were you a big fan of the movie Clockwork Orange?
Yeah, it's actually funny you say that. It's funny you bring it up. It's actually one of my favorite movies ever. And it was something – it was – to be fair, it was something that we discussed in the early stages of the Hounds of Hatred where, you know, because obviously we wore black and red. Well, not obviously, but we went with the black and red. But there was some talk that we would go all white because of that movie, which, you know, it's a masterpiece. You know what I mean? Malcolm McDowell playing as Alex DeLarge. The movie was just perfect. The only scene I can't stand about that movie is when he starts, you know, getting sick where he starts gagging, because it makes me want to gag. But hey, that's the part of it. If it affects you in any way, then it's obviously doing its job. I think the movie is tremendous. The opening scene when they're sitting in the milk bar, we use in wrestling, you use, as a character, you try to use little pieces of everything that you love to create your character. For instance, I used a lot of Leatherface in mine, but I will say that, you know, it was definitely on the table to wear all white because of that movie.
Have you and Mouse ever gone to a milk bar after a wrestling workout?
Not a milk bar, but we've been to plenty of bars after our shows, for sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Sullivan, when the wrestling venue lights came on in that match with Jose A and Jose B, you were standing behind Corrine Mink, and any viewer could see that you had numerous tattoos on your right arm. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what these tattoos are about?
I have tattoos all over. I have, honestly, I know it's a cliche type thing, but when you get ink, some people, it should mean something to you. Other people just like the design. To me, I get tattoos that mean something to me, and a lot of them really represent something I've been through or a time in my life. And some of them are definitely about my childhood. I love being a kid, so I have some kid tattoos as well. Some 80s pop culture, we'll say that. But yeah, I'm pretty covered. Not as much as I'd like to be, but I have. I mean, you know, I've got the Flames and Skulls too. You know, I have Dusty Rhodes tattooed on me. I have Randy Savage tattooed on me. I have Roddy Piper tattooed on me. I have a crown. Represents my family. I have so much, and I just want to keep going eventually. But, yeah, man, they all just mean something to me and just stuff I've been through.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you a big fan of Henry Rollins of Black Flag? He has a lot of tattoos. Henry Rollins.
Love Henry Rollins. I actually love Henry Rollins more for his acting. I do love some punk bands, love the Misfits. But in terms of Henry Rollins, I'm trying to remember some of the shows and movies I've seen him on, but I just think that dude is so talented, and he's a character, and of course love watching him perform barefoot and in biker shorts. That's one guy that I could have definitely seen, in the professional wrestling world. He's definitely a character.
Yes, he was on that Outlaw Biker TV series quite a few times.
Yeah, he's in movies too. I can't remember the movies, but yeah, every time I see him, I always get a chuckle.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Sullivan, Jose A and Jose B are known as the Hispanic Mechanics. My question is, have you yourself ever taken a trip to Tijuana, Mexico, only to have your car break down?
No. I mean, what a terrible situation. I don't like the heat. I don't like the humidity. Mexican food gives me all sorts of stomach issues. They tell you not to drink the water. Not to say I would never go to Mexico to wrestle, but I hope to never be in that situation.
Yes, broke down south of the border. That'd be terrible. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans what you currently drive?
I drive a Jeep Wrangler, 2017. Got to have, got to get the big tires on it, but, it's I like the convertible aspect of it. My license plate, which I'm not going to give out, but it's in homage of Scott Steiner. And, it's something, it's going to be eventually time for another car. But for now, that's what I'm driving.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Sullivan, you entered the ring at the 9-minute mark of the match and immediately put Jose B down with a shoulder block at the 9-minute and 4-second mark. Jose A went down with another shoulder block at the 9-minute and 6-second mark. You then put Jose A back down with a crossed forearm shiver and then sidewalk slammed Jose B. My question is, do you have a high-flying top turnbuckle aerial assault move?
Well, my finisher currently is the old demolition finisher. So my normal tag team partner currently, who was not at that show, is a wrestler by the name of Apollyon, who has lost a lot of weight during the COVID period. But when we were wrestling together, he was just under 400 pounds. So we make quite a big tandem. As you know, back then I was about 320. I'm about 295 now, but we were two big dudes. So he was basically, our finisher was he'd pick up a guy, put him on his knee, and I'd climb to the second rope, and I'd do a flying elbow drop right off of Apollyon's knee. So I'm not a big fan of going up all the way to the top, but I absolutely love jumping off the second rope.
Wow. Ooh, oh, boy. That's a – okay. All right. Well, Mr. Sullivan, at the 10-minute and 58-second mark of the match, you caught Jose A. coming off the ropes and caught him in a Lex Luger-type torture rack and a modified John Cena FU. You held him up on your shoulders for about 4 seconds. My question is, Jose A. had quite a few pounds on him himself. You have to have good lower back strength and leg strength to hold him up. Do you do a lot of squats in your training or deadlifting?
Squats for sure. Wrestling, to me, I mean, you to be a wrestler to support some of the guys that are heavy, you need good core strength, and you need, you know, you said lower back, you need all around. Your abs, just to keep these guys also steady, because you got to remember these guys are flailing, so it's not just a matter of just holding them up; it's a matter of, you know, holding them while they're moving all over the place and trying to keep them up as long as you can. So squats is always a big thing in training. One of our trainers, Joey Bernard, I call him the Great Joey Bernard. He does all the CrossFit type workouts with us. You know, and there'd be times that we would do 400 squats, you know what I mean? And it's just what it is, man. Like, you know, it could be very taxing on your body, but at the same time, I completely understand why. Being in the wrestling ring is unlike anything you'll ever do physically. I've played football at high levels. I've played baseball at high levels. But nothing prepares you to be in the wrestling ring, especially if it's hot in the building. You're moving around, they're moving around, you guys are both sweaty, and now you got to suspend the guy on your shoulder. It's a lot of work for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Sullivan, you spoke to Sign Guy earlier about your book, The Gamer Place. Were you inspired by the gonzo journalist Hunter S. Thompson, who wrote his drug-fueled book, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
I've done a lot. Back in the day, I did a lot of research about Hunter S. Thompson. And, of course, I definitely saw that movie. I'm more of a... When it comes to who inspires me in terms of writing, or movies or, stories like that, I'm really more of a Kevin. I like Kevin Smith. I mean, just the way he puts out a story. It's hard to say. I have so many different, if you do get a chance to read it, you'll see it's all over the place, and there's a lot of pop culture references. And you can see, obviously, besides for working retail, where that sucks the life force out of you when you do it for, a couple years, nonetheless, 12 or 13 years. I've taken really a little bit of everybody, And, some people you may have never heard of, and some people you're like, oh, shit, yeah, obviously. I got to say, read the book, and then you'll definitely see where I get my... my inspirations from, for sure.
Wow. All right. Okay. It could very well be that your book may make a debut in the Northwest on the Sign of the Times with Sign Guy. He often has
great.
A lot of books. Okay. Very good. Okay. Very, very good. Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Sullivan, you talked to Sign Guy earlier about the Manson family clan of the NWO. Who is your favorite Manson cult follower or groupie? Would your favorite Manson follower be Susan Atkins, Leslie Van Houten, Patricia Krenwinkel, Charles Tex Watson, or Lynette Squeaky Fromm, who tried to assassinate Gerald Ford in 1976?
I will say that I had a weird crush on Susan Atkins, and I could never explain why, but I mean, she's pretty. besides that, you know, it's tough, man. Like, you see all this stuff, and I've watched a lot of stuff on that, man. Obviously, we researched the hell out of that group. And to me, it's a shame. Obviously, Sharon Tate was a beautiful, beautiful actress, and you tend to think, like, what could have been for her. But at the same time, you know, there is this weird likability when it comes to the Manson family. So to me, you know, it's Susan Atkins. There's just something about her. You know, there's just some, and I know that Lynette is probably the most famous Manson family member, follower, but there's just something about Susan Atkins, for sure.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that Lynette Squeaky Fromm didn't look so good. No. Okay. Okay. Mr. Sullivan, were you a big fan of King Kong Bundy?
Yes. Oh, and first of all, so, I mean, I grew up, you know, as a kid when I first started wrestling, it was literally at WrestleMania 1. That was like, just before that. So, my favorite still to the day, you know, if I had to write down a top 10 list, you know, they would all be, I would say 7 out of 10 would probably be guys from that golden age. King Kong Bundy, to me, you know, I loved the wrestling figure, the big rubber wrestling figure. He was so, just, he was massive. He was like a walking landmass. When he tagged with Big John Studd, you know, in the Heenan family, you know, they were, I mean, I that, to me, okay, so I loved it, but at the same time, I'm glad that they always would put the titles on actual tag teams, not two guys that they put together. So that was one of the things I loved about them. But it's amazing to me that they never held those titles, because who's going to beat them? You know what I mean? Unless you're fighting Andre and Hogan. I mean, they were just as dominant, a huge force. Love King Kong Bundy, you know, and lucky to meet him a couple years ago before he passed. But just, geez. Yeah, absolutely. Walking landmass.
Did you see his match on Married with Children against Bud Bundy, who was dressed as a bumblebee?
Of course. Of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good thing that King Kong Bundy is a good sport, because let me tell you, what's his name? David Faustino? Bud Bundy?
Yeah.
You know, at any time, that's the thing about professional wrestlers, you know, sometimes they're not always in good moods. So you never know when you're gonna face a guy who's just feeling like, you know what, I'm gonna stretch this kid out, and he could have definitely, you know, did something like that to Bud Bundy or his stunt double, for sure.
Well, not many people can recover from a Bud Bundy stinger.
Yeah. I don't know if I could.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Sullivan, if you went back to around the 1990 year, 91, 92, and both Ric Flair and Scott Steiner managed to get themselves jailed in Rahway State Prison on corruption charges, do you think Ric Flair would take the top bunk or the bottom bunk, or would he give Ric Flair a chance? Would Scott Steiner give Ric Flair a choice of bunks?
Scott Steiner would do anything for anyone, especially Ric Flair. I mean, I love Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner probably, you know, is my guilty pleasure in professional wrestling, always has been. I was so furious what they did to him in the WWE when he ended up coming back. But yeah, I've met Scott Steiner plenty of times. Scott Steiner wouldn't give Ric Flair a second.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. How about if Adrian Adonis shared a cell with Big Papa Pump? Would he fare a little bit better?
No. Worse. Worse.
Okay. Well, then I'm not going to even ask if David Faustino could hold his own against Scott Steiner in a prison setting.
Scott Steiner's biceps were as big as David Faustino's head.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Sullivan, it was good talking with you. At this point, I'm going to give it back over to Sign Guy, and hopefully I can, in my many encounters with Sign Guy out in public, I can take a look at your book. I'll look forward to that.
I hope you get a chance to read it. You seem like a guy that I know would absolutely love it.
Oh, all right. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Sullivan, up here in Washington, we have a wrestler that shares your last name, that being Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah.
Is there any relation between yourself and the Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan?
There is no relation. However, we always reference him as Dad, me and Bam. Kevin Sullivan is Dad for us. No honest relation, but, you know, I love Kevin Sullivan. I love his work. I love everything about him. I wish it's one of my, I don't want to say dreams because you can't go back in time, but man, oh man, would I have loved to work in his faction with Woman and Billy Graham, Army of Darkness. I would have absolutely, it's probably one of my favorite factions. I would have loved to have gone back and had a chance to have been in that group for even a month. I mean, it would have been a dream.
Now, if you reference Kevin Sullivan as Dad, does that mean you also reference Evad Sullivan as your uncle?
Yeah, why not?
That makes
all
sense to me,
all
right.
All the Sullivans in wrestling are somewhat related. We just don't know how.
Very, very good. Well, we are down to the last few minutes of the show today. I want to give you ample opportunity if you would like to say anything to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything from social media to the book to any upcoming appearances to merchandise to your favorite donut shop, anything in the world, floor is yours.
Get us in Washington. I'll bring my tag team partner. I'll bring the other Sullivan guy. Let's go to Washington. Let's wrestle on the West Coast. Considering that we can't do anything in the East Coast with COVID and our restrictions in New York, New Jersey, and all this nonsense, we're always looking for opportunities. Until everything opens up, I'm kind of hunkering down, trying to get back in ring shape. So listen, here's the bottom line. I got no shows planned as of right now. I'm kind of sitting back waiting to see what goes on. But I definitely hope, to one day kind of venture my way out, off the East Coast. I've been up and down the East Coast. So look, I want to get out there. If you know a promotion that's looking for a pretty sick tag team, you let me know, over out in Washington and we'll be there. Amazon.com, the Gamer Place book. Check it out. It's totally worth your time. It's a fun little getaway. 2020 has sucked, so everyone could use a smile for sure. Yeah, man. Just listen. I appreciate you guys having me on the phone. I will let you know that I am all over Twitter. I am on Facebook. I am on Instagram. At Boo Sullivan _DMT, which is my current tag team. Check it out. Friend me. Talk to me. Whatever. Let's make it happen.
Boo Sullivan, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and hopefully at some point when things open up, we'll see you here in the Pacific Northwest for sure.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
All right, fans, definitely when things get back to closer to normal and you see Boo Sullivan is on a show, go buy yourself a ticket, support him and what he does. pick up a copy of the book. I have ordered one, waiting on it to get to me. I'm looking forward to reading it, as is QT. And as we wrap things up, we want to send our well wishes out to former guest of the show, the Northman, Ernest Olson. His sister was struck by a city bus in Portland the other day and did not survive. So definitely we want to send him our well wishes, as he's unable to get back home due to circumstances. So our thoughts are with him. You can check us out this coming Sunday. We'll be back on the air with Flex Reed out of the Kansas area. And 1 week from today, we'll be talking to the Caribbean Tiger out of the southeast part of the country. Make sure if you find a show near you and you feel safe to do so, go support them. Independent wrestling definitely needs your support right now. And definitely if you're anywhere close to the Tracy Smothers benefit show in Tennessee, go support that. Tracy could definitely use the help in getting the headstone and paying off his final arrangement. So definitely support that show. We'll be back with you Sunday. Everybody stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.